I changed my mind. I'm not ready. I'm kidding. We're staying. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. This is my podcast. This is This Week in Zoltan. This is episode 375 coming at you from beautiful Manhattan's in the heart of New York City. It's 74 degrees, 74 with the windshield. I believe it's called, and look at Mike shaking his head. It's not.
That's an argument
that's
we have.
That's a
windshield. It's the windshield.
I don't know. I always thought it was windshield.
No, it's the wind chill.
Windshield. I can't say wind chill.
74 degrees with the transmission.
But if you're driving in reverse, the rear views are saying 72, so a lot of people. But anyway, welcome to the show. Before we get too far into it, Safe Journal, safejournal.co is our one and only sponsor. It's a journal. It's about self-improvement. It's about writing about you and becoming a better you, kind of like the Army, but without, you know, being yelled at. You can yell at yourself in this, and it's Army Green, the color. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of close, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get 25% off if you use Zoltan at checkout and a handwritten note by me. And I need to add, because someone got mad, didn't mm-hmm. they? Someone got mad because they ordered a Safe Journal and they didn't get a note from me, but they didn't use the discount code. So you only get the handwritten note if you use Zoltan at discount. And the reason is, because regular people that don't know who I am are buying this journal, and if they just got a creepy handwritten note that was slightly comedic with no context and it was signed by a Zoltan, I think they would be like, oh my God, I think this guy has my address, and they'd return it and move. And that's not really what we're going for here at Safe Journal.
That would be weird.
That would be weird. So if you want the handwritten note and the 25% discount, Zoltan at checkout. You don't do that, you don't get either. I think that's it. Safe Journal. SafeJournal.co. What's up, everybody? We got, I don't know what I just did right there. We got Mike on the ones and twos. Say hello to the good folks.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, I don't know why that was so...
creepy.
<It's good. laughs> That was like my audition for Whose Line Is It Anyway? Hey, or no, what's the one with the guy with the doors and the zonks? Guess the price.
Oh, let's make a deal.
Is it anyway? Yeah, who's making a deal? Tell them what they won.
Guess who's making a deal? And it's and then you flip down the contestants and you're like, it's always the guy in the glasses who's balding.
Our trick was, is your guy gay? Like, oh, there's like 50 of them go down. There's always like two of them.
How can you tell they're gay?
Well, you got to play the game. Next time you play that game, you're going to open it up and go, yeah, no, that works. That works real good.
I like the idea of playing that with a 7-year-old and going, are any of them right-wing Republicans? And anybody, what? Just ask him like off-putting questions.
What's his pronouns? What's the pronoun? Click, 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 click. Does your person own a cat? Click, click, click.
You know what? You turned it from the creepiest introduction to a very funny introduction.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
You flipped that so quick.
I tried.
And then we also
I realized it was bad. I was like, I gotta get out of this. I started paddling hard.
That's what we do on stage.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. You ever go on stage and you don't know how to say hello, so you say hello, and then everyone's like, what? And then now you gotta, like, look at that guy's face. You just start redirecting your uncomfortableness at people's faces.
Yeah, my joke bombed, and I just went right to crowd work.
Yeah, except the only difference is today they went into crowd work without the joke bomb.
Exactly.
We missed the bombing part.
Didn't try the joke.
No, like, what do? You look like a long seashoreman or something. And you're like, what? And like, oh, dude, I work at Applebee's. And you're like, that's pretty lame.
You guys all can't see him? Okay. I start over a lot. If I like bomb, like, or up top, I'll be like, let's just redo this. And I'll walk off stage. I'll come back and wave again. It's like it's become a bit, but I enjoy doing it.
I like that. Yeah. I wish you could do that in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you and I enter a house party and we're uncomfortable, me more than you, but it's like, hey, can we go outside and start this again?
Where you don't hug the air.
Yeah, where I don't hug the air and immediately look for the dog so I don't have to make eye contact with the humans, you know? Anyway, that was Mike. He's running the ones and twos. Then we have the lovely Emma Basiri. Say hello, Emma.
Hello.
I don't know why we're clapping. He started clapping. So it's kind of like a sitcom. Everyone enters. You had a weird hello. You saved it. She comes in. Everyone's like, woo!
I feel like I should do the wave.
You got to come in. You got to Kramer it. Slip over your shoes. Big week. Big last few days. By the time this comes out next week, it will be old news, but O.J. Simpson passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. 76 years old. 76. Did it for a long time, whatever he did.
Yeah.
Whatever he didn't do.
I didn't know he was still alive.
I didn't know he wasn't in prison. That was because you texted me when I landed in Tampa, and you're like, oh, my God, O.J. died. And I was like, man, he died in prison? He's like, no, he's free. And I'm like, I thought he got like 30 or 50 years for kidnapping in Vegas. And he only served like 4 of those years and they paroled him.
COVID, right? Wasn't he a COVID release?
Maybe. Yeah.
Really stretching the limits on COVID release.
Yeah.
Oh, we got this guy that did taxes. We have a murderer / kidnapper. Let him go too. Guy's an icon. All right. Cosby got out. I mean, it's crazy.
It's wild that he did the kidnapping thing after getting away with the murder thing.
Yeah.
You're like really rolling the dice with that. But it's the craziest thing he did. I don't know if you know this. He put out a book that said, if I would have done it, or if I did it, this is how I would have done it.
Wow.
Pretty much putting out a book saying, I didn't kill my wife and Ron Goldman, but if I did, I'd probably do this.
So a confession, basically.
Well, I didn't read the book. Maybe he just said something else. Maybe he's like, oh, I would have taken her to Peru and shoved her off a cliff or something. You know?
Well, there was another book called I Did It by Fred Goldman and Kim Goldman.
Oh, yes. And that was the rebuttal book.
Yeah,
it was almost like a rapper beef where like someone puts a diss track and then someone else puts a diss track. There was a diss track with books.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Well, I mean, we know you did
it. It's actually sad.
But no, it's sad, but it is weird that if a murder or something really sad gets really popular, it takes the feelings out of it.
Yeah.
And then we can all poke fun at it. Because usually something happens and it's still very sensitive in the zeitgeist of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then comedians poke fun at it. And then regular humans are like, come on, that's a little much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the O.J. murders, everyone's very open to.
I think now we just need the Neil Armstrong book, I Didn't Do It.
I didn't walk on the moon. Do you think they walked on the moon?
I think so.
I
hope so.
That's the Emma Basiri book. Did they walk on the moon? I think so.
You never know these days.
No, you never know, but I'd like to think that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
weird that it's up for debate, but I'm a fan of conspiracy theories, so like I'm open. I'm open to them not having done it. I mean, I think they did. But I'm pretty cool if they didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm not offended if they didn't.
Yeah. How does it affect me at all?
No.
Or any of us?
No.
You didn't walk on the moon. All right, cool. So are we getting lunch or what's going on?
Yeah, it's... I wouldn't care. But maybe people that were alive in 1966, I think that's when they did it. I only think I know that because of the newspaper that was framed in the bar in the movie Dumb and Dumber. Where Jim Carrey's character leaves the bar and he sees the thing and he goes, we landed on the moon! Like, he didn't know. And I think it said 1966 on it.
It's like Elf. The world's best cup of coffee. You guys did it. I don't know how that's relative, but, you know, we're doing movie quotes.
I want to go into places just to act dumb. Like, we did that on the walk over. We saw a place called Sushi Ann and immediately just started singing the Pepper Ann theme song. Pepper Ann, Pepper. We were just like, how fun. And it looked like a high-end sushi place. Just to go in there, sit at the bar and go, Sushi Ann, Sushi Ann, you have the best roll. Sushi Ann, Sushi Ann, one in a million. You know? I think we need more singing on the podcast.
I think so.
I think that's what's been missing.
All right.
You know?
I'll join in.
Cue me in. An American. I mean, I'll
where at least I know I'm free.
Woo!
Do I, because I live in a household where I'm told anytime I try that I'm a horrible singer. I'm looking right at you.
No,
what'd you think?
I'd like to believe so.
I think so.
I think I'm all right. Right? Like every once in a while.
You know what? Sometimes you'll sing and you surprise me. And I think you surprise yourself too.
Yes.
And then other times I'm like, please stop.
You know what it is with me? I have low self-esteem when I sing. And two times I have low self-esteem when I'm doing something out loud. It's comedy. No. singing and doing impressions, like trying to do like an accent or something. And so both times I get self-conscious and then I turn them to one thing I think I can do. So when I sing and I get self-conscious, I quickly turn to James Hetfield and just go, yeah! You know, right at the end. And then if I'm doing an impression, and if like, let's say I'm doing like a Japanese impression, it will turn into Macho Man Randy Savage. Both kind of similar, if you think about it. Hetfield and Macho Man, there's a yeah!
Oh, I thought you were saying Japanese and Macho Man. I was like, I don't see that connection at all.
No, I've done it.
You're Japanese impression is so good.
I can't. What are you? We're gonna get canceled.
I know.
Yeah, we can't.
I know,
do
but
that.
It's so good.
Can't.
I'm
do
surprised
that.
You don't do good impressions. I was gonna say because you have the tenor, the voice tenor
to do it.
Because most people that are good impersonators have your like speaking voice.
Oh,
you have a very like
in the middle.
No, it's like low, but it's like cuts.
Ah.
So like it's you should be better at impress. What I'm saying is that you're wasting your talent. Well, most impersonators, their normal speaking voice is like your voice.
It's like my voice.
Yeah, it's like deep, but like not, you know what I mean? Like it's in that like middle ground between deep and not deep.
You know what I feel? I have the tools to be good, but I haven't put the discipline into it. It's kind of like a fat guy that runs with perfect form. It's like you're really wasting, like you could be a marathon runner, but because you're not working out, you put on all this weight. But man, when you're on the treadmill for those 45 seconds, you run like a gazelle. You have the hand to leg strike, boom, boom, boom. Man, if you could drop the LBs, you could be Usain Bolt. But you're really
hot dogs at her hands while you're running. Man, you'd be crushing. What impressions do you do?
Or
do you think you can do?
I can't do Japanese because that's upsetting. And then I don't even have a career yet.
You won't do Japanese.
I won't do Japanese. Hungarian's hard. I try to do my mom on stage sometimes, and I think she comes off a little Latina. Sometimes.
What about like, celebrity impersonations? I guess that's what I was thinking. Is that, I think that you'd be good at like doing like a Robin Williams or like a...
Robin Williams?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. What does Robin Williams say? He's all quick, and he's like, I'm not on cocaine. Like, this is like a little bit of, I'm not good at it.
Do you do impressions?
I used to do Fat Bastard. That was my big one when I was a kid.
From Austin Powers.
Everyone, there were some pretty good ones like that, but that's about it.
Let's hear it.
I can impersonate people that nobody knows. I can impersonate people around me, like my old boss. I can nail him. I can do Nick Turner, who's a comedian.
I know that. I know of that guy.
I can do Nick Turner all day, but that doesn't mean no good in my career. Right.
Well, if he blows up,
yes,
you can be the impersonator of him.
Crushed it at our restaurant Christmas party one year, doing shout out Billy Streck. Love that guy. He owns a bunch of restaurants in Atlanta.
He's just a not famous guy.
No, he's just the boss, but he's got a very specific voice, and I nailed him. And I could do it now. I could be doing it right now. You would have no idea.
I kind of do a good impression of a non-famous person, our friend Brandon.
Oh yeah, you're a really good impression.
But like, no one's gonna know who he is. Like, come on, Sasha. Like, he'll say something outrageous and then just chuckle at the end. I think we should invade Iraq. Like, it's just, and he'll do it at like a house party where he doesn't know the people well, so they don't know he's joking, and he'll just add a nervous. See, the fact that she's laughing that hard is proof that I'm doing a good job of our friend Brandon.
You are.
Yeah.
I speak in my head a lot in like a New Zealand Australian accent. And around my house, me and Becca, we talk to each other in like below deck talk.
Ooh.
Below deck.
I like
that.
Oh,
the show Below Deck.
Yeah, like if I need to call her, I'll be like, Becca, Becca? Because that's how they do it on the radios on the show.
Wait, is this supposed to say Becca?
Yeah, yeah. Becca?
Becca?
Becca Mike?
Eek?
Mike Becca? It's like very stupid, but...
What was the movie we watched with the kid?
Oh,
Billy...
Ricky Baker.
Ricky Baker.
What was the movie
called,
he had
a song. It was like the Land of the Wilderness People or something.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Where the Wilderness?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt
there
for the Wilder
go.
People, yeah.
There's did a... off the top of my head.
Did you?
No.
So that was my impersonation of a smart person. Got it.
The yeah, he had a... I like the New Zealand accent.
It's so mm-hmm. gross.
Yeah.
It's so it is. It's so bad, but it's so great. N-O-R. Say that word.
Nor?
Yeah, you just said no in New Zealand.
Nor? That's how they say no?
Yeah, nor.
Oh, nor. They had an R on it?
Nor.
Nor?
Yeah. Proof. You're killing it. I just did a New Zealand accent.
I think every time we talk to someone where they tell us something that we couldn't understand anyway, just because it's out of our realm. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say we don't know that much about cars. Let's say we went to a mechanic shop and he's explaining why our car is broken and why it's going to cost $3,000 to fix. It would be great if he also said it in a New Zealand accent so we extra couldn't understand it, you know?
I used to have a bit about it, but I had a doctor. I have heart issues, but when I first found out about them, I went to the emergency room, and the ER doctor was Australian.
Yeah.
And he came into the room, word for word, he goes, "Oh, your hat's not working." I was like, "Nope, let's do this again. Give me a different one." It's just not an accent for doctor.
For cardiology.
No, no. "Oh, your hat's not working." It's like, well, neither, you're not working either.
Maybe ear, nose, and throat, but not cardiology. Oh,
it's working fine now. Let's go ahead and get out of here. I don't trust this
guy. Your hat's not working.
I was like, is there nothing else you could have said?
It'd be great if your fiance was there. Tell me about it. Just a little like sitcommies. That'd be great. I didn't know you had heart issues.
Yeah, I have.
This is a good time to bring that up.
Sure.
Yeah.
AFib.
What's that?
Oh, I've heard of that in the commercials.
Grandparents have it a lot. Kevin Nealon.
He's got it.
He's in the commercials.
Ah, that's right.
It's just a misfiring of electricity in my heart because of wrinkles in the artery. Mm.
You have wrinkly arteries?
I did. I had surgery to fix it.
Wow.
Oh, they like plastic surgery? Like they smoothed it out?
Yeah, but essentially, yeah.
Wow.
They go through... I have like a very long bit about it when I do like full hours, but they put wires up my groin through my arteries and they ironed out the wrinkles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very long story.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
this
pretty funny though.
It's, well, if you want to see it, you got to go see Mike Albanese on stage.
Yeah.
But you're okay now?
Yeah, I still get like blips of like, because it feels like a heart attack.
It does.
Yeah. So for years I thought I was having heart attacks.
So like your left arm goes numb?
No. Just like in your heart.
Oh.
It's like it just feels like it's like beating fast and gross and weird and off, and it really messes you up mentally.
Wow.
I used to go to the emergency room all the time because I thought I was dying. So there was points where I would just go to the emergency room and sit in the waiting room waiting for it to happen because I thought I was having heart attacks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you putting yourself on camera, by the way?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Well, next time.
Next time.
I want to do shared clips
where we
cross post.
I usually do that, and I just didn't.
It's all right.
I'm a bummer.
Yeah, people can hear you.
Yeah.
People can hear you. Just so you know, he has AFib. He's better now.
Better now.
And he has a cane, which you also can't see.
Not related.
Not related to his AFib.
Just fell down the stairs.
You're the only person I know that's like broken something, and then each time we come visit, it's worse.
Yes.
Like you're like the Benjamin Button of healing. Like, I feel like next week you're going to be in a wheelchair with your leg up.
I hope so.
Or one of those scooters.
Yeah, you're going to be on a rascal.
As much as I hate it, like I'm really enjoying the attention I'm getting at home, so it's like I kind of don't want to do. I don't have to take the dog out.
Do you have a bell?
I should. That'd
it's a good look.
It's not bad.
Because when we first, like when this first started, 2-3 weeks ago, whenever.
It's been a month.
It's a month. Okay.
It's killing me, dude.
So a month ago when this started, you answered the door to let us in your walking boot, which just looked funny. It looked like you had, you know how like some people's one leg is shorter than the other, so they have like extra sole? That's what it looked like. We were making fun of you when you weren't looking.
I appreciate it.
And then this time you answered with a cane.
Yeah.
And you look like a guy who just got out of prison, got shot, sold drugs, but didn't rat out your partners.
Of course not.
Like it was that kind of look. You're
I took my time. Yeah.
Snitches get stitches, yeah. But those weren't the stitches that you got.
Rats get bats, baby.
Rats gets bats. It's a good look. Even when you heal, I think you should keep the cane.
Thinking about it. They gave me crutches to begin with, and that just didn't work.
No.
I got bruises under my arms.
Crutches.
Too much upper weight to be leaning on those things. There's a weight limit to crutches. I found out.
I think if you can't do a pull-up, they shouldn't give you crutches. Because that's kind of what you're doing, and I can't do a pull-up either. But like you're kind of putting all your weight right in your pits.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And you're supposed to just tiny Tim it around until your ligaments heal. May I have another? Like, anytime I see someone with crutches, like, you better be holding a hat in your hand. May I have another? Like, if you're not doing that, what do you even got a crutch for? Especially if you got one crutch.
Oh, man.
If you got two crutches, that's a serious injury. If you got one crutch, you're panhandling. Like, that's what you're doing.
The train, they took care of me on the train, too. I was going for the door. And the doors closed, and I was like, ah. And then the lady in the middle train, she goes, I got you, boo. Open the door back. I was like, oh, I love being handicapped.
I love being
People complain about it, but let me tell you. Other than the pain, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I think, yeah, if you came on the road with me, you'd find that you'd fit in well with a lot of my audience. A good portion of my audience is injured.
Sure.
Every one of my shows in Tampa, at least one person was in a wheelchair or like a motorized cart. The first show, I show up and this lady who's like a big fan of mine runs up to me and she's strapped to a heart, like a blood pressure monitor that does not belong to the club. She brought this and she just...
Hold on, if I may interrupt.
Yes.
Why would the club have a blood pressure monitor available?
You know how some like what's the zappers you see now in like different places?
The defibrillators?
Yeah, for your atribulations. You know, you got wrinkly things. Here's this. You know, which by the way, the fact that they have that up there. It's one of the it's like seeing the fire extinguisher, which I think I know how to use, but if there was a fire, I'm gonna wait for someone else to grab it, you know. And I feel the same way about the zappers on the wall. Like someone falls clutching their chest, I'm like, oh yeah, let me finish them off. Like, there's no way I'm gonna do this right.
Someone's gyrating on the ground, and you're just like looking at the instructions. This is real?
Yeah. The paramedics show up, the guy's on fire like Green Mile. Like, I didn't wet the sponge. I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
We're joking, but I can actually see you doing this.
Yes, because you know me well. I'm like, I don't know how to do any of this.
Your pants are on fire. You're like, pull the pin out all the way?
It's so bad. Yeah, but so I walk into the club. And there's a line, there's people getting ready to get sat, whatever. And this nice lady comes up to me holding one half of a blood pressure monitor that's strapped to her arm. And she goes, hi, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm so excited for the show, but I think I have to go to the emergency room. My heart's going crazy and blah, blah, blah. I just need to talk to the manager and make sure I can come back and catch your show or if I can move my tickets to another day. And I'm like, what? Like, she said so many things at me that I wasn't ready for. And I was like, just go to the emergency. We'll figure it out. And she goes, no, I'll talk to the manager. And then she pulled out little slips of paper and like a bunch of them. And they had my name, the date, and the shows at the comedy club. And she's like, I'm an Uber driver. I've been handing these out to all my customers. And I'm like, in the same sentence, like there were no commas. It was a one run-on sentence of telling me what's going on with her and how much of a fan she is. So she's a very sweet lady. And she ended up going to the hospital. She came the next night, and she's like, yeah, I don't know what happened, but I have a heart thing, and I think she might have had what you had, because she was telling me they had to go through like her pelvis to get up to her heart, which is what you were talking about. And not that time, but like she had a heart issue years ago, and that's what that was. And she said so much, I never got the chance to ask, you just walk around with a blood pressure monitor?
The only thing you could say was, all sales are final. No refunds or exchanges. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules.
I just pictured being a customer in her Uber, and she's just driving with these little slips of paper like, hey, you should check out Zoltan, and then you just see a strap on her arm because she's checking her blood pressure. And you're like, oh, man, with the dedication. So thank you. I'm sure you gave me your name, but because of all the conversation we had, I forgot it. And I hope you're feeling better. You said you were, But yeah, that was a wild. We had five shows. Each one had a wheelchair or someone with a blood pressure monitor, and that's my audience. I bring in the injured. You know,
you're the Statue of Liberty of comedy.
Statue, give me
your weak.
Yes,
you're feeble. And your erratic heartbeats.
And your huddled masses. For five shows this weekend in Tampa. That's actually the next promo I'm going to do. I'm going to read that. And then for five shows in Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah. I also got, speaking of, you said no refunds. I got an email this morning from a lady who was not happy about my show in Tampa.
Ooh, can we read it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to read it right now. She came to the show on Saturday, but she didn't send this till Monday. So,
do a dramatic reading of it?
I mean, there's a lot of exclamation points. There's a lot of exclamation points. This person's name is Susan. This is to my website. Just a note to say that I've been following and supporting you since your first dry bar, enjoying you and yours last night. And all of the sudden, she put a lot of L's. This is in quotes. GD and or Jesus is coming out of your mouth, and now there's like 1,000 exclamation points. If this is going to be the situation now, gotta say bye bye with a bunch of exclamation points.
Sure.
And I mean, obviously, I'm not gonna respond. Or maybe this is the
you're responding right now.
I'm not gonna give this any airtime. Is this mic on?
Well, because there's part of me that wants to go, thanks for letting me know, because I wouldn't have noticed. Like that kind of angle. But also, I feel bad, because like I know what it's like to go to a show expecting something and then seeing something else. Like, imagine we got tickets for Metallica, and then they just sit there with like acoustic guitars. And I'm like, what? No, I want the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, I want the goddams and the Jesuses.
Just covering JoJo Siwa the whole time.
We're doing all of Neil Young's catalog, and you're like, oh, that's cool, but I thought...
Well, what was the context of the words?
I don't remember.
Did you say, I love Jesus? I mean, that seems pretty... I caught that a couple times in your set.
Did I say I love Jesus?
You pray during your set. I don't know what this woman's talking about.
Did I ever tell you a guy prayed with me? No, this was in... I'm jumping around, but... I did a show somewhere in Ohio, and the club got an opener, and he was a really nice guy, and we're just talking in the green room, and then it's just me and him, and right before the show, he goes, hey, do you want to do a prayer before the show? And I didn't want to be rude, so I said, yeah, and then I just held hands, and then bowed our heads, and he gave us a prayer for us to have a good show, which I thought was like a waste of God's time. Like, there's so much going on in the world, you know, all over, and we're over here going, can we not bomb at this mall? Like, can we have a good set?
Speaking
at this
of all
funny
the bombs
bone
happening in the world, let's one less here. Yeah, we're halfway there.
If we could also get a ceasefire in the Middle East, but also a ceasefire here at the Columbus Funny Bone, because we're trying to have it. And then he went on to not have a great set, which I'm not making that part up either. He was
just praying for himself. He was like, does anyone else want to be a part of this? Because I'm, dear Lord. Why did I choose this career?
He's a sweet guy, but I just remember, because you know me, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
How do you say no? Would you like to do a prayer? Ugh. Like, what are you supposed to say? You're like, oh, man.
I have a very specific viewpoint, but I would do the same thing. I'd be like, oh, sure. Do you want, okay. Cool. Look at other people's houses. If they're like, you want to pray before meals? I'm like, great. My eyes are open. I'll just say that. I'm not. I'm looking at everyone else. But I'll sit there in silence for you.
I'll sit there in silence. Yeah.
I don't begrudge your religion.
No, I never want to. But I'm also such a natural people pleaser that, like, I was like, thank God it was that kind of a prayer. Because what if he was Muslim and he just whipped out two rugs and we got to face towards Mecca? And then I got to do the whole thing and I've never done it before. Because I wouldn't say no. He's like, I brought you an extra rug. And I'm like, oh, damn it. And
I only use my own.
Yeah.
What is that, wool? Ooh, I got a skin thing.
But then, like, if it was mother or Buddhist, like, he just brings out a big baby pool filled with sand and we got to rake it. Like, I wouldn't say no before.
Is that Buddhism? I'm in.
It's Buddhism. Calming. Anytime I think of Buddhism, I always think of, like, those little office things with the sand and the little rake. And I think that's a lot of it.
I think that's gay. What's the religion for that? I apologize.
I'm gonna get an email. How dare you?
I'm getting an email.
Yeah, that's gonna be an email.
Susan's out.
I respect.
Susan's back in.
Susan's back in. Listen, I was out until Mike said Buddhism's gay, and then I was right back in. For the record, I respect all religions except for that Scientology one. Not a big fan.
That's not a religion.
Huh?
That's not a religion.
No. Yeah, that guy is a space guy.
Yeah. And we all know no one landed on the moon. Full circle. We're back.
And if they did, it would have been a sea captain, which is, I think, what L. Ron Hubbard was. But yeah, this woman got, Susan got mad at me. And as soon as I read it, you knew how much I was involved because I like completely spaced out and just started. And you're like, don't even, you're still thinking about that email, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It affects you a lot.
It does. It's supposed to not, because like I'm not gonna write her back, but I wanted to do the thing where I was like, oh, I'm sorry you had a bad time. What's your PayPal? I'll give you a refund, and then in hopes that she would go, oh, never mind, I'm sorry. But then I'm like, what if she calls my bluff, and then she goes, yeah, I would like a refund. Here's my PayPal. Now I'm not gonna believe her, so I'm gonna have to like call the club and go, was there this person? How many tickets did they buy? Yeah. And then still not send it to her.
Is there no way that you would ask like? Can you be more specific?
And
like,
yeah, what did I say?
Yeah, like, what, because you are curious. Like, you're not trying to, you know, piss this woman off, right?
It sounds like she doesn't know specifically what I was talking about, but that just that I said it. And it was probably in the beginning, because I did a lot of new stuff. I was talking about OJ. I talked about Florida being weird, because, like, I just regular Florida stuff. Also, I had a weird flight where all these old people were annoying me. And, yeah, I must have slipped in a goddamn... Or a Jesus, because I like.
Whoa.
Oh,
again?
I'm sorry.
I thought we went over this.
Listen, there's. I don't know if we've ever discussed this on the podcast, but there's multiple levels of clean comedy. There's and Dry Bar is the cleanest of the clean comedy because that company is run by Mormons. So there's like, I remember the first taping I did. There was a, I forget the bit, but there was a bit I remember that I had done at Christian churches that they asked me not to do on their Dry Bar tapings. So that gets even, so there's like clean for like the club level. Then there's clean if you happen to be working at a church. Then there's like Dry Bar clean. I don't know what's above that, like Disney Cruise clean. Like I.
So I've heard Disney Cruise actually, they allow you to do a not clean set. They have like a club that's just adults, and it's like you're allowed to be a little bit dirty because it's like extra good for the adults that you can go in and be like a little edgy.
Right.
So I've heard that that's actually a thing on Disney.
Okay, so then Dry Bar is on top.
I think Dry Bar is the number one.
Yeah, Dry Bar is number one because they don't want you talking about body parts. They don't want you alluding to sex. They don't want obviously bad.
Sexual body parts.
Right. Sexual body part.
Yeah, you can talk about, like, your kneecap.
You can talk about your elbow all you want.
No. Susan says no knees.
Also, you don't know what I'm doing in the bedroom with my elbows.
Neither does she.
A lot of times she's laying in bed and then I come in elbows. She's like, you're on my hair. Like that's what I'm doing sexually with my elbows. But they're very specific. Obviously, you can't say hell. Because I say hell a lot because I like hell yeah. That's like my favorite catchphrase and specific things like that. But if you see me on Dry Bar, that's not the level of clean you're going to get to see my show. I'm still not going to cuss. You can still bring grandma unless she's a prude like old Susan here. And then she's going to have not a good time. But for the most part, I get very few complaints like that. But, you know, maybe I should dig deeper.
Is that good just for the knowledge?
Yeah,
maybe you could turn it into something. Who knows?
Maybe. Because I was it might have been because I was complaining about the people I sat next to on the plane. Because I sat next to two people that sucked, But the person that sucked the most, I was middle in Delta Comfort, and I was thinking of you, because you don't take the Delta Comfort upgrade. You want he wants to be in the back. Remember, mm-hmm. you and I were talking about that. We're like, he doesn't want Delta Comfort. He'd rather sit in economy, because you want the extra leg room with the exit row.
I love the exit row, or I'd rather a aisle seat in economy versus taking my chances with a middle
seat
or a window in comfort.
Right. Mm. And you feel the same way about this. Because anytime you fly, you're like, I don't want to sit in the middle, even if it's in comfort.
Right. I'd rather be economy, yeah.
Right. Oh, but how do you feel about, now we're getting too nerdy and specific, the first row of Delta Comfort where the armrests are full and all the way down, so you're not touching the neighbor's thighs?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd rather be an economy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I agreed with both of you on both of my flights this past weekend because I sat next to this elderly lady who, like, she knew she's flying with her husband and her sister, I think. And I shouldn't know that, but they talked the entire time. But they were sitting behind her. So she kept turning and talking to them. And then every time she'd come back, she just slammed me with her elbow. Mm. Like, she had no feeling in her elbow. She lost that. And during the war, I don't know when she lost that, but she just kept slamming me, and she was just in my business, and she couldn't sit still. You know, when you sit next to someone, it's always grabbing for stuff. She has a giant bag of crap, and she's just rifling. And then once she gets the thing she wants, like, she had a neck pillow, but it kept sliding off. Like, it was on me, and it was just a mess. And then I finally fell asleep, and she got up to go pee, and then she came back, but she was at the age where her legs, she couldn't sit down. She had to fall down. So she fell into the chair with her elbow. She just elbow dropped me like Macho Man off the top rope. And she's like, I'm back, you know? And I'm like, ooh, yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, this, I'm not picking on this lady because she's elderly. I held back because she's elderly, because I'm like, this is someone's mother, perhaps someone's grandmother. But some people just suck and then age into elderliness and bring the same suck they've had their whole life into their later years. And there was an old person behind me too, and I only know that because their legs weren't strong enough to sit up without putting the death grip on the front seat. Ugh. If you've ever been in that, like, when you're on and you just get pulled, you're like, am I about to get shot into first class? Like, what the hell is about to happen? Like, it's like a catapult, dude. And all of them sucked. And then they tried to steal my luggage at baggage claim.
The same old person?
The crew. There's three of them. And they got to baggage claim before me because I had to tinkle. And I get over there, and they're, like, wheeling my bag away. And I know it's a black bag, but it's got a blue little ribbon on it. And I'm like, excuse me, that's my bag. And they're like, and I had to point out the name on the thing. And they're like, oh. And I was like, all right. And I'm like, man, you guys suck all the way through. And so I talked about this experience all weekend. And I'm not making this up for comedy. I texted you as soon as it happened. My flight home, I got a middle seat again, sitting next to the same old lady.
Stop.
No, sitting next to the same old lady and the same old people behind me, jacking my chair every time they got to go take a little peepsie.
Well, you know what I have to say about this?
What?
Jesus Christ. I mean, you nailed it.
See?
There's no other...
Susan, I had good reason to say GD. I had good reason to say Jesus. I had good reason. And I think part of the reason her email annoyed me so much is she came to the show Saturday. I'm assuming. Let's say she came to the show Saturday. She sent me this email Monday. So she took Sunday off, just as God intended.
Sure.
Went to church. Gave her forgivenesses.
She walks the walk, man.
Yeah, she went to church, listened to the sermon. They told her about forgiveness, turning the other cheek, loving thy fellow man.
She had her hands in her ears the whole time for that.
She's like,
no.
And then Monday morning, here come the exclamation marks. Just holding them down. Just so you know. And I was like, all right. So I'm sorry, Susan. I'm sorry you had a bad time. She said she had a good time until... she didn't, which, you know, just remember that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I understand.
It's like going to a concert and you expect them to play the hits, and then they're like, how about a new song? And you're like, you sit through the new song, and then they go back to the hits.
Yeah.
Pina Colada's coming. Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine Jimmy Buffett doing a, I got a couple few new ones coming out. You're like, what? Just bury themselves in the sand they brought with them.
He's like, you know, a lot's changed since I've started in this business. Here's a couple AA songs I've written. Sometimes it's good to sit with your feelings.
We're going down to Seltzer and Limeville.
Black coffee and a donut instead of a cocktail.
Impossible burger in paradise. You ever tried a portobello substitute?
It's a singing episode.
More singing.
It's yeah, more. Yeah. I think we need more singing. It's your turn. You love doing songs.
Do I?
You love, like, at the house. Like, when you're in a goofy mood, you'll just come through and you're like, washing the dishes, annoying my husband. Look, he's so annoyed, he won't look at me, but I'm dancing. And you'll do something like that.
I think I'd do a better job than
you
that.
You do way better than that. That was my impression, and we already talked about it. It was a bad impression. But you guys actually gave me the confidence to not go into James Hetfield. I didn't end it with a yeah.
Are you guys karaoke people?
No.
No?
I would have to be, even blackout drunk, I wouldn't do karaoke. Yeah. I'm terrified of it.
I love karaoke.
You love karaoke?
I've had a karaoke booth to myself before.
Like, you went by yourself?
Well, I had some time to kill. A couple of drinks in me, and I was walking down around Koreatown. What am I supposed to do? Not go get a couple hard-boiled eggs and belt out a few tunes? Come on.
I just imagine, because have you ever been to, like, a Korean karaoke bar? Because they, you know how they have those little booths? Mm-hmm. Imagine, like, a party, like a birthday party, going down the aisle, heading to theirs, and they just look in, and there's Mike choking down hard-boiled eggs, just belting out the tunes with a cane, just holding onto a cane. Oh, Margaritaville! Oh, that would be a sight to see.
It's a good time.
And they can tell your friends aren't in the bathroom because there's only one set of drinks.
It's just four warm Bud Lights. I like to heat them up before I heat up the stage. Oh my God, this guy stinks. That's the eggs. I love karaoke. We have our own karaoke microphone up at our RV that we
do. You?
We'll be outside singing. It's a good time. We have people over. It's amazing.
I might karaoke in August.
You have to.
I'll do it too.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, there you go. You should sing Andy. He's a Persian singer. His name's Andy, but they pronounce it Andy. And
Persians.
Yeah.
Same things in their own language.
Same things.
Gross.
Here comes the rice. Like, I love that song. That's my favorite. I feel like that's the only song that should be played at any Persian gathering.
They do.
Oh my God.
At everyone.
This guy looks like an insane person.
I'm laughing because I know exactly what he's looking at.
He looks like a guy that would go by Andy. I mean, what else am I going to tell you?
What's the name of the song that I love that I was just singing?
It's long.
Oh, it's...
Hoshkele bayad berachsan.
Yeah, put that into the Google machine, you guys.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot.
You might want to use
it again so I can go to voice to text.
Yeah, you might want to do voice to text on that one.
I'm not even going to, because if I even try to repeat what you just said, I will immediately get canceled.
My favorite hacky line, when, say that again.
What?
The name of the song.
Hoshkele bayad berachsan.
You do, and you'll clean it up. That's Jim Cornette. He's my favorite. Anytime like someone says like a word in another language, you do and you'll clean it up. Like, I love that. Google, look up Andy, and I think it's his number one hit. It has to be. And it's, play that song, and if you aren't dancing in by the middle of it, you might have AFib or whatever Mike had. You might need to iron some wrinkles out of your heart valves.
I think you also have to get your heart checked.
Why? Because I have a low resting heart rate?
It is way too low.
Yeah, I might die. I might die from being too relaxed. I think it's because I don't do anything. I think if I had a job, like a day job, remember that day? I think it was last week when we did the podcast. I woke up, went to the gym, we did the podcast, and we had to go do a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. We went home, my resting heart rate was 60. which is the bottom end of normal.
Yeah.
And so that means if I was a regular 9-to-5 guy waking up, going to, you know, work at the warehouse like I used to, like physical stuff, mm-hmm. I'd have a normal resting heart rate. But because I'm a lazy comedian, mm-hmm. who I'm usually horizontal or just sitting, I got a heart rate that dips into the low 50s and the 40s sometimes.
Yeah. Isn't it like 43 usually?
No, not usually. I think my average is 51. But then it'll dip into the 40s. And then sometimes it'll dip in the 30s. And my watch is like, I think you're dying. And it'll buzz me. And then I'll take it off. And I'm like, I'm trying to enjoy Dumb and Dumber right now. Why don't you calm down?
That's crazy.
I'll get it checked out.
It's bradycardia you have.
I've Googled that, yeah.
You've Googled bradycardia?
No, I've Googled low resting heart rate, and then it could be... I thought it was pronounced bradycardia. I used to have a bit about this.
Could be Brady.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense. I don't know why anyone would call that Brady. Brady. That's not even a word.
Brat
heart rate.
I had a joke about it, because the way I found out is my mom got me a Fitbit for Christmas in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then I Googled my resting heart rate, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's low. You have bradycardia. And then my joke was, but this is a Christmas gift. you can't find out you have a heart ailment from a Christmas gift? That's against the rules.
My parents got me a heart monitor for Christmas one year.
Like the finger?
The one you put your finger, you touch the fingers to. You touch like a finger to each, and it tells you if you're having AFib or not.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I was obsessed with that thing for a long time.
But what is it with – well, you actually had a – diagnosed heart ailment. My mom got me the finger trap. Mm-hmm. Remember the finger trap? And it checks your, was it heart rate or was it something else?
I thought that was blood pressure.
Maybe that was blood pressure. I don't know. This one does.
That's the one where you have to push at the same time they push, and so you both get your fingers out.
Yeah. That's a Chinese finger trap.
Oh.
Yes, it is. I didn't know. Maybe that was the old school way of checking blood pressure in China back in the 1700s or whenever the Chinese finger trap came around. I don't know. But yeah, I'll get it checked out this year. Go in for a full physical. I turned 37 in May. I think it's time, you know. They start giving me a once-over. They can call me fat, which I'm waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
I had to do an audition the other day where I had to give my what's that called? Your body percentage? I don't care.
Oh, your body fat percentage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? What audition? For fitness?
It was no, the opposite. It was for a medicine for, like, diabetes and... being fat. I booked it. No, I'm kidding. And I just sent a photo. They're like, he's in.
Yeah. I just got an email that said series regular. And I think I'm set for the next since.
But I had to do my like fat count through like calculator.
Yeah.
And morbidly obese.
Yeah.
Turns out. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that fun?
That's so fun.
It's exciting.
I'm last time I checked, I'm overweight. Mm-hmm. Or type it in. Put in
Type it in. 5'9". Zoltan fat. That's what it says.
Zoltan
fat.
I used to be fatter.
Well, your podcast comes up immediately. first thing, portion control diet this week.
Oh,
is
yeah,
Zoltan.
Yeah. That was an episode. But no, 5'9", 175, although I was 177 this morning. I think because I've looked it up too many times, the highest for my ideal weight in my height is 169, so I'm technically overweight.
Could fall within healthy range of some people, but
probably
it is considered overweight.
Yeah.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? Mm. They should have, imagine, put in 210, because that's what I used to weigh.
Oof.
Yeah. I was probably super morbidly, how do you do, overweight.
It is not. You are in the obese category.
Yeah. Why does obese sound so bad?
Well, I went to the doctor and I was like excited. He said, you're morbidly obese. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, at least there's nowhere to go but down. And then he told me, no, there's actually super morbid obese. I was just like, goals.
So you're just regular.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not that bad. You had to add. And they're super duper. And there's, oh boy, obese.
Oh boy. It's just the word sounds so bad. Like, obese sounds like you can't fly on a plane.
It sounds like the noise you make when you're obese. 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 You got a mouthful of pudding.
Obese sounds like they would put you in the bottom of the plane in like a fish tank, like to get you to where you gotta go.
Cargo.
Just naked in a pool. Like, I think that's like they're transporting a whale to a new zoo. Like, that's what obese sounds like. That's how, like, change the words, you know?
This guy gets in first class, and no, we're gonna put him on a pallet. Strap him down.
Man, they did that.
Wait, what?
No.
We get a pallet?
They did that. This is a wrestling thing. They did that to Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Do you remember Yokozuna? Yep. Yokozuna probably weighed 600 pounds. He's a big boy. And in 1996, they did an angle where this other big guy, Vader, broke his leg and that they couldn't put him on a gurney because he was so big. So they brought out a forklift with a pallet and they sat his big ass on the pallet with his leg. Mm-hmm. And did you hear that pop, by the way?
I sure did.
And then they took him out of the arena on a forklift.
This was part of the show, or he actually broke his leg?
No. He didn't really break his leg. Okay. They just had to come up with a reason to get him off TV because they were going to send him to fat camp to lose weight.
Oh.
And they sent him, but he gained weight, and then they fired him.
That sounds like the perfect fifth. Like, the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, we went to fat camp. We went to camp. You guys get it.
You guys were being ironic. We took it literal.
Buffets.
Yeah, they sent him to fat camp, I think with Vader, with the guy who broke his leg. Like, they suspended him, and then they put him out with an injury, quote unquote. And then they were at like Duke University to lose weight, and they were paying like people that work there to get them like KFC and stuff, and they actually gained weight.
Isn't that part of his whole gimmick though?
That
he's big. Why is he trying to lose weight?
Well, because he got too big.
Oh.
And then so like the doctors that work for the company or the athletic commissions were worried about him like having an episode in the ring. Because when they first hired him, he weighed 500 pounds and then, or 450, something like that. And by 96, 4 years later, he was like legitimately 600 pounds.
Oh, wow.
650, like he got really big.
Step on the scale. Step off the scale.
Yeah, step on. It's also hard to believe
you've
that.
You've gained 9 pounds. Gerald Gardner.
Did you ever watch this movie, Heavyweights?
I did not.
Oh, we're going to watch
it. Stop. It's the greatest movie.
Great movie.
Yeah, here we go.
Great.
Send you to go kart camp.
Wait, now I want to think of a line.
Oh,
you took all the good ones.
Oh, there's a million left.
There's so many good lines. I'm trying to think of one.
You too.
I just
are ridiculous.
Always wanted to go fast. And he's sitting in the go kart, but they took all the motors out of the go kart. And then the other fat guy, Pat, has to shove him around. And then they have so much fun.
I had plans for this summer. I was going to hang out.
I was going to hang
You're fat. Why don't you go to go kart camp? Or why don't you go to fat camp? Yeah. Go kart camp.
Yeah, the kid told his dad. They broke it to him that he has to go to this fat camp, and he's like, "You're fat. Why don't you go to the damn camp?"
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
Deal. With it. Such a great character.
So
And then he reprised that essentially the same character in Dodgeball.
Oh yeah,
this is the same guy.
Yeah.
The
English kid pulls his shirt up. I knew it was a bit hot on that bus.
Like, it was the best part is all these kids smuggle in, just like prisoners smuggle in drugs into jail, all these kids smuggled in snacks. And then so the new kid, all these kids have been going to this camp for years. The main kid who's brand new, he's like, "Hey, don't tell anyone, but I smuggled in some beef sticks." And he goes, "Oh, you smuggled in some beef sticks?" And he goes, "Chipmunks," which is the name of their troop, "Download." Is that what it is?
Chipmunks. Well, first of all, it's Oreos. I don't want to get technical. Chipmunks, download now! There's just a montage of the throne.
And then everyone just like, some guy's like, this big guy Sam takes his shirt off. He's like, "Hey, can you get the salami off my back?" And he's duct taped like a big salami on
the salamis are killing. British kid pulls his shirt up, melted chocolate.
All over his belly.
It's a bit hot on that bus.
It was a bit hot on that
bus. They go, "Hey, everyone, come take a taste of England." And they all start licking him.
They all start licking him. Come get a taste of England. That is it.
Such a good movie.
Oh, we're watching that. It has to be on Disney Channel. It's a beautiful.
For sure on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this episode has been go listen to Andy. and go watch Heavyweights.
Toya Jackson. He did a LaToya Jackson feature.
What?
LaToya Jackson was on an Andy song.
What?
Did you know that?
Ooh, you don't know your Andy?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I think she only knows that major hit.
I know that one song.
Yeah, which apparently they play at every Persian wedding.
Yeah.
I think they should play it at dinner, quite honestly.
Is that like Cupid Shuffle for Persian weddings?
Yeah, you know the song? Like,
to the left, to the left,
pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the electric slide where they just yell commands at you.
Andy featuring LaToya Jackson, Tehran, official music video.
Oh, wow. What year did that come out?
It says 8 years ago.
Huh.
Remember the theme song for the show Tehran on Apple Plus? Yeah. That it was like, mm-hmm. And then she would do a full air guitar to it every time. It's my favorite. I like that. I wish they made more seasons just so you'd keep doing that.
Maybe one day. Yeah.
I don't know. Did we have other things to talk about? I think. What else happened? The eclipse. I burned my eyes during the eclipse. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady got mad at me. Person was injured. Everyone came out to Tampa. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the shows were a good time. Oh yeah, I saw some good Florida stuff. Like I don't know. I don't know how much you've been to Florida, but
I used to live there.
Oh, that's
right. Did you actually?
I lived in Orlando for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he told us this.
Yeah, yeah.
It really struck a chord with the audience, but I noticed it Thursday after the show. I'm driving back to the hotel, and I noticed a very thing that's exclusive to Florida, where sometimes late at night while you're driving, there'll just be a guy on a bike who'll ride out of a bush, like at full speed, you know? And not like he got out of the bush and then started pedaling, like hauling ass out of a swamp and just onto the road. And you're like, where the hell did that guy come from? And he's like very confident. He has a backpack, and you know what's in the backpack.
Yeah.
Gator teeth. I guess I don't know. It's
beef jerky.
Beef jerky and some melted chocolates. But yeah, I did that. Anything else? How are we doing on time? 55. Okay. I think. Yeah. What am I trying to stretch for?
Let's wrap this up.
What am I trying? Let's wrap this up. One more time. Safe Journal. SafeJournal.co for all your journaling needs. If you're new to it or you're seasoned. This is the journal for you guys. 25% off, Zoltan at checkout, and a handwritten note, the only way to get a handwritten note. And go to ZoltanComedy.com for all my tour dates. By the time this comes out, I will be on my way to Chicago for that weekend. Rosemont, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Chicago Zanies. ZoltanComedy.com. Yeah,
some of the
first
best
time
clubs
doing.
In the country. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You'll love the Rosemont's great. Downtown one's like such a special, crazy little room. Yeah.
I'm so excited. My brother's coming out for it. Yeah. It's the first time I'm bringing my brother on the road, so we're going to have a good time. He's never been to Chicago. My buddy Jason's coming. We're turning into a little trip. We're going to have a good time.
I think the bartender at Downtown, I think his name is Greg, makes an incredible Negroni.
Negroni? I don't think I've ever had a Negroni.
Oh, it's good.
What's in it?
Campari, gin, sweet vermouth.
Okay, I'll try.
It's my favorite drink.
She's a big gin fan.
Ooh, you a Negroni? Big Negronis or no?
Have you had a Negroni?
I don't think so.
That's really bitter. If you like a bitter sweet drink.
It's like a Vesper kind of?
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, she likes a Vesper or a lychee martini.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So yeah, come out and see me live. And bye, everybody.
Trekking heavy or traveling light. There's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am.